trying to. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can sing of your goodness. We thank you that you're the one who sticks by us, closer than a friend, closer than a brother. And we pray that you'd help us to hear and receive the message from the Bible today. Amen. Well, I wonder if you ever read anything and you thought to yourself, what's it all about? I know I certainly have. I say, I just can't get it. It doesn't make sense. What are they talking about? And it may not be just at school time that that happens, because, of course, when you get to the end of school, there's a load of things still to learn. And so all the way through life, you can come up with that question, what's it all about? It was like that for the person in the story, the man who came from Ethiopia, a really important official in Ethiopia. He was very important because he looked after the queen's treasure, and that was a very big job. She was rich, there was lots to look after, up to him to do so. Let's find out where he was in the story. Now, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to ask Johan, I don't know where he's gone, is he still here? I'm going to ask him to come forward, see if you can find a blue sign, and anyone else who's tall enough to find the white. I'm going to pick on Grace. There should be some white signs to make. These have been made by Signs R Us. We've got some special road sign to see where the story is, and it's up to you to find it and to... A blue sign. It should say Jerusalem on it. Anyone need any help? If you could bring that over. Yeah, can you bring that over? Because I'm going to put that on. We've got a special road sign to see where we are. I need the blue one first, because that's the positioning is critical. Thank you very much. And here we are, pretty near to Jerusalem, the city of David. And I've got a couple of other signs to go with it. So whose vision is good at the back that you're not going to spec savers this week? Can you read the road sign as to what's off to the southwest? On the back row? No. It says Gaza. Sorry, I couldn't do any bigger. 50 miles. Ethiopia, how far away is that? One far. Andy. And he's looking with his real eyes. And to the north, Specsavers is sponsoring Andy. To the north, we've got Samaria, which actually is a kind of general area, but there are lots of towns there. The Sea of Galilee, 70 miles away. But Rome, how far away is Rome? 1,400 miles away. And so this man has come all the way from Ethiopia, which was a very, very long distance, even by today's standards, to, we're told in verse 27, to worship you on page 1101 and following. Page 27, he'd come all the way to Jerusalem to worship God with other people. That was interesting, wasn't it? And if we look at the map, here I made one earlier. I did not spell the name. That was somebody else, but it was the clearest map I could find. And here we have a map showing us where they were. And the other character in the story would do an awful lot of traveling during this, in order to bring the message to others. Now, while this man was in Jerusalem, the man had come from Ethiopia, he bought something called a scroll. And you may or may not be really familiar with what a scroll is like. You might know the idea of it. But here's our scroll, and I've made one. It's not life-size. I was going to do life-size, but that would make it too small, because life-size would be half that height. Okay, about 20 to 24 centimeters. Be about 7 meters long, which is 24 feet or thereabouts in old money, and be made up of 17 sections of something called parchment. Now, parchment is kind of thin leather, so it's stronger than your roll of... If you had a roll of kitchen paper, that's about the length we're talking about, and you've got all those sheets on it, but it's much stronger than that, so it actually can travel and be used. We have to be very careful with this scroll. It's a very old scroll, and I've got to take it to Alton, so no ripping when we get to the crucial moment. And I will need some help in a moment. So here's a scroll that he's got. And what's interesting is that it would have been written by hand, so somebody would have copied word for word, and they were very, very good at their job. They would have copied over. It was done by hand. They didn't make many of them, and they cost an absolute fortune to buy. So you couldn't buy one in your normal market. It would cost a fortune. Well, the official was on his way from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then he would be going into Egypt and then on to Ethiopia, all those miles away. And as they rumbled along slowly, he was trying to make out what the writing on this scroll meant and was thinking to himself, what's it all about? He could read the words, but he couldn't understand the meaning. Well, meanwhile, you remember in the story that one of Jesus' followers, called Philip, he was somebody who was in Samaria. Now, he had been in Jerusalem, but things had got so bad for followers of Jesus that it was dangerous to stay there. So he'd left Jerusalem, and he'd gone towards the north to Samaria. And there he was having a time in one of the cities talking to lots of people about Jesus. But God sent an angel with a message, which was that the message was he wanted him to go from where he was, where all the action was, into the desert to go towards Gaza. And there was someone I want you to talk to. It was a very strange message because there were lots of people to talk to in Samaria. Why would he go elsewhere? But he followed God, what God was telling him, and he went off into the desert like a soldier following orders until he came across the person God wanted him to meet. Well, ahead of him was a cloud of dust, and as he got nearer, he realized there was a group of people and camels and these sort of chariots they were riding, all traveling together. And as he got closer still, he could see the Ethiopian official, and we're told in verse 30, he heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. In other words, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Now, it was quite usual for people to read out loud in those days. That's how they read. What was unusual was that he had his own copy of the prophet of Isaiah, because they were so expensive, there weren't very many of them. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the official replied, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" And no doubt Philip would have said, "Well, would you like me to do so?" And the official said, "Yes, please, I'd love you to do so. Please do so." So he would have stopped the chariots, and Philip climbs in. And as they go along, he looks at the scroll. Let's look at the scroll together. And I will need a helper. In fact, I need two helpers for a little while, if they would come and have mercy upon us in this family service to hold up this scroll with a message on it. If you don't volunteer, I will pick you. Thank you, Verity. One volunteer. Unfill the whole lot, please. One, until we see all the words. Be very gentle. Yes, I'll need someone else. And here's the message. You can read it with me. You've got it in your Bibles, because you've got your Bibles open, haven't you? You don't need to read from here. Is that right? Bibles, page 1102. You can read the bit together that he was reading from Isaiah. Very exciting to see what he read. So read with me. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can... for his life was taken from the earth." And the official's asking himself, what's it all about? And he asks a really important question. He said this: is the person who's writing about himself or somebody else? Well, here's a version, and this is where Helen's going to come in. There were some emojis around the church hidden, but Helen's going to put on these little emojis above using some blue tack. Put the blue tack on that first. It's very technical. And you're going to put the emoji in the right place. Oh, and if she gets it wrong,
You're going to have to help me.
I'll give you one at a time because I know it's confusing. It should be easy because I'm giving them the right order. So here's a sheep. And what's happening to the sheep? It's going to the slaughter, and as it approached the slaughter, what sort of noise did it make? None. And of course, the idea of things, the right thing happening, was thrown out the window. And what happened to the sheep at the end? Come on, you must do it on your phones, your smartphones, all these emojis. It died. Yeah, that's that one there. No, it's not a sheep's face, no. Couldn't get a sheep going like that. That was too difficult as an emoji. Some people, they really expect very high standards, don't they? If you'd like to put that down for me, that's great. Thank you very much for your help. You may return to your seats, relieved that I'm not going to ask you to do anything else more embarrassing still. And so, Isaiah's book, which was hundreds of years old, had been written about a servant of God. And it wasn't clear who he was. Thank you, Dave. It wasn't clear who he was really speaking about, but it all becomes clear when we realize it's about Jesus. It's all about him. He brought it true. So here was God's special servant. He was his son. Here's the one who people didn't like. They despised him. He was rejected. He was hated. He was tortured. But he didn't resist. He stayed silent. Even though it was unfair, even though there wasn't justice, he didn't protest. And he was put to death. And so we're told in verse 35, Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And so he's saying here, it's speaking to us about Jesus, the one we are following. When he died on a cross for us, not because of anything he'd done wrong. Isaiah tells us exactly that he was innocent. Isaiah tells us when this suffering servant died, he'd be dying, he'd be punished by God. He was dying for you and for me, the sheep who are going astray, so that we can be forgiven, that we can be friends again with God. Now, 3 days later, of course, Jesus rose again from the dead. We just celebrated that at Easter time. And the official must have got very, very excited because he realized that this message was about Jesus. It was very good news indeed. Previously, he'd been on the outside of God's people. And now he realized he could be on the inside because of this one who died. Now, we need help, don't we? When we don't understand something, we need somebody to help us to understand. And that's what this Philip was doing for the Ethiopian official. He was helping him to understand. He had the words in front of him. He could read it, even though it was probably in Hebrew. He could still read it, but he couldn't understand the meaning. Now, can I encourage you, when you go home, to remember this passage, maybe even to turn it up in your Bible at home, and see whether around the dinner table, you can explain to one another what's going on. That you could pass on the message you've heard this morning, you can pass that on to somebody else and say, this is talking about Jesus, and here's why. And when you look at the rest of the chapter, there are lots of other things about Jesus which should come true as well. Well, God's Spirit had prompted Philip to go out. God's word was what he used to help lead the Ethiopian to faith. Well, along the road, further up the road, there were some green trees. What does that spell? They're supposed to be in a desert. So what are the green trees, do you think? Oasis. Must be an oasis because there was water there in the middle of the desert. And the Ethiopian says, well, here's some water. Time for me to be baptized then. And so that's what he does. And he's obviously putting his faith in this Jesus. And Philip gets out of the chariot with him. They go down into the water, we're told. Verse 38, we don't know how deep it is. So we don't know whether he was dunked like a biscuit or whether water was poured over him. Who knows? but he was baptized. It was a sign of being made clean by Jesus, the one who is the Lamb who died for you and for me. It's a picture of being clean, not just on the outside, but on the inside, that only Jesus can do. So a Christian is somebody who recognizes they've done wrong and that somebody had to die for them to make them clean before God. And this was true for the Ethiopian. And we're told in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the Ethiopian didn't see him again, but went on rejoicing. Isn't it amazing? The Ethiopian, his job was looking after a huge amount of treasure for the queen. But now he'd found some treasure in the desert that he never expected. It was lasting treasure. And so the message of Jesus was beginning to spread. And so it had been in Jerusalem and Samaria, and now was going to the ends of the earth, because it was going to Ethiopia with the Ethiopian eunuch. And we do know that there's a church that was there that established, carved out of the rock. They used to meet in places carved out of the rock. And a church got underway, and great history was made as the gospel went from one continent to another. And so it raced on through across the globe, and it came to our country too. I wonder whether you'll be like Philip. Will you be somebody who's a follower of Jesus, who understands about him and talks with us about Jesus? On Thursday night, when we heard about Stephen, he was in a bad place. And I was just talking with Phil afterwards that he was kind of cleaning the floor, and he heard two other people talking about Christian faith, talking about Jesus. And it got his interest, and that was the start. And he read the Bible, and it changed his life. Can I give you a little challenge? Quite a few of us for the Lent course, and if you didn't come on it, I'm sorry, but here's your chance, you can do it now. Quite a few of us use this, a little resource to help us to share Jesus with others. And it may be that you've had conversation with somebody over the years, and you think, I'm going to ask them whether they'd like to find out more. Well, this guide helps us to guide them through so they have an understanding of Jesus. Can I encourage you to take one at the end? Take two, one for yourself and one to do with them, and work through it to share Jesus with somebody else this year. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you changed the life of that Ethiopian man, and how exciting it was for him to realize that Jesus was the way that he could be right again with God. We thank you that's true for us today. And we pray this message would spread, that you reach the people who have shown no interest to date, but you change their lives.